Thank you, Jesus. What an honor and a privilege it is for me to be teaching this lesson, module 47, in the website Salvation Made Plain. A series looking at salvation from getting born again through milk, then meat, strong meat, living in Christ, and then now looking at the fullness of salvation in the ending days. From getting saved all the way up until the return of Jesus. And tonight we're going to really look at some strong meat, much more so in the examples of the strong meat as opposed to the teaching. In a very real sense, the entire website so far has been preparing us for tonight's teaching. And in a real sense, tonight is a jumping-off point for the major items to be covered in this last book of the Salvation Made Plain website, Book 5. So tonight we're going to talk about the glorious church, a church full of the glory of God. Where did we see somebody full of the glory of God? Well, we saw Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. We saw Moses coming down from the mountain after 40 days with God, and he was shining so much he had to put a cloth over his face so he wouldn't scare the people off. We see manifestations from time to time in many people under the old covenant. God has always wanted us to be a family of God, a church of God, saints of God, full of the glory of God. He created Adam to live forever, and he filled them with his glory, so that when Adam sinned, he fell short of the glory of God. And because Adam opened up the earth to Satan and his temptations, each and every one of us have since then sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But Jesus Christ, the last Adam, came to offer his life, to die as a sacrifice, to shed his blood, to redeem us and restore mankind back to everything that God had given to Adam, having a body that's full of the glory of God, a body that doesn't have to die. Adam was never created to die. We've covered all these items to some degree in the website. Tonight we're going to assume you've gone through every module, and we're not going to teach them. We're going to flow through these things really quite fast. God wants us to be alive and remain when Jesus returns, to be caught up with him and not die. The last enemy to be overcome is death. And the Bible says all of us have been in bondage to fear because of fear of death. But Jesus Christ came to abolish death, so you can be born again. And if you die under the age of grace, you go up to be with the Lord. But if you live until Jesus returns, you will never die. 1 Corinthians 15:51. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all die, but we shall all be changed. We shall all be changed in the twinkling of an eye. Let us commence that serious change now, tonight, in this module, wanting to be that church without spot or wrinkle. A glorious church. A holy church. A church without blemish or any such thing. We've looked at quite a bit of this already. We looked at living in Christ Jesus, where Jesus is your Lord, and you've been washed by the water of the Word. That's how we become that glorious church. Let me read that to you. From Ephesians 5:27. Christ loved the church and desires, that's my intro to the sentence, that he might present it, the church, to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. And it goes on to say, and that's done by the washing of the water of the Word. Washing of the water of the Word is the hallmark of living with Jesus as Lord. It's the hallmark of living in Christ Jesus, as opposed to living in Jesus Christ, where your focus is on the cross and what happened at the cross to save you. But living in Christ Jesus, your focus is on the resurrection power of Jesus Christ and what God wants you to do with what he has already given you. What does he want us to do? Well, in the module on ambassadorship by Pastor Sarah, we saw what it means to be an ambassador of heaven here on earth in these ending days. We saw from Pastor Matthew's teaching on Christ in you, the hope of glory. We see a lot of this teaching there that tonight we're more or less looking at examples. And of course, Christ in you and the hope of glory, we see the teaching also by Pastor Matthew, walking on the water of the impossible. Walking on the water of the impossible. That's what we're all called to do in these ending days. We are called to pass on nothing but his glory. Pass on nothing but his glory. And to do that, we desire and we must want to be changed by the Holy Spirit into the likeness of his Son. Becoming a reflection of the perfect one. Words from a wonderful song. And how do we do that? We talk about preparing the way for the return of Jesus. And there's a song that talks about the glorious. I think it's called the glorious. It talks about making the crooked way straight. Quoting the scriptures on preparing the way for the Lord. Making the crooked way straight. Bringing down the mountains and raising up the valleys. And we think that those all refers to changes in the world and in life situations, preparing the way for Jesus the first time and now again in the second time for his return. We also think about removing those challenges from our own lives. But I want to show you a more intimate way of looking at that. Look at it not that you're removing these challenges from your life, but you're removing these challenges from yourself, from inside you. Making the crooked ways straight. Looking at the iniquities in our heart, our wrong ways of thinking, and changing them so that our hearts become centered and God. Not a heart that's divided and broken. Parts focused on God, parts focused on mammon, parts focused on the devil. Not knowingly, but through the deceit of the enemy. Bringing down the mountains. The mountains of the bad habits in your lives. The things that seem so hard to break. These mountainous habits that we're going to bring them down in our lives. And the areas of our life that are low, the things that God has given us, his talent, the knowledge he's given us, the calling in our lives, all these things which may not be as high in our lives in terms of priority and performance, we're going to raise these up, changing us from the inside. For the Holy Spirit is here to help us do that. And as we start to do that, as we desire it and start to move in that direction, the Holy Spirit does the rest. And we look to the future. We look to the future and see what Christ in you, the hope of glory, means when you go through these changes, this metamorphosis, to be a vessel, to be used by the Lord in these ending days. That's what tonight is for. Taking the past, putting it together in a nice package, and preparing us for the changes in the future. Tonight we'll look at some very significant and deep scriptures and miracles. The scriptures will teach more in depth in the future, not tonight. Tonight we want to focus more on the miracles, the kind of things to be done by a glorious church, by people who desire to be in a glorious church. We look at it at a high level, and then we move out in the future to study the scriptures in more depth. So let's jump right into it now. So part A, manifestations under the old covenant. Adam was full of the glory of God. He was so covered in the glory that he did not even know he was naked. Romans 3:23 says, but all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. When Adam sinned, it was clear that his sin had brought him short of the glory of God. His pride, his impatience, his fear had brought him to that point where the glory left him. And eventually, he died. Genesis 5:24. Enoch pleased God so much that God took Enoch to be with him. Wow! That's what the glorious church is. That we please God so much that God takes us. We're going to please him so much by desiring to be, by praying, working, acting to be part of that glorious church that he takes us. That is what's going to happen to the glorious church. Christ is going to present the glorious church to himself. When? At the rapture. That's what it says in Ephesians. Present the glorious church to himself. Exodus 34:29. Moses was so full of the glory of God when he came from the mountain that he was shining. His face was shining. 2 Kings 1:10. Elijah twice brought fire down to destroy the 50 soldiers that came against him. Twice. And eventually, in 2 Kings 2:11, he went up by a whirlwind into heaven with fire, chariots of fire accompanying him. Wow, I would say that's pretty glorious. Part B, manifestations under the new covenant. There have always been manifestations of the glorious church, of the glorious family. But in these ending days, that's what the focus is all about. Us all becoming part of that glorious church. Representing heaven as ambassadors. And preparing our lives to be alive and remain when Jesus returns. Acts 12:7. Peter was set free from inner prison by an angel. Imagine it. Getting put out of prison by an angel. One of our ABCers has a son who is ministers overseas with his wife. They're both powerful ministers in their own right. Slightly different ministries, even though they're a couple. And she was once put in jail. Going to be locked up in jail for a long time and until there's some kind of a trial. And of course, because she was a Christian ministering. So they left her. So after a while, she just felt that it was time to go. She walked over to the door, turned the door, and opened, and she walked out. As simple as that. Brother Yun, the heavenly man in China, arrested, finally, after a long time of trying to catch him, because they had founded so many churches, put in a maximum type security prison up on like the 8th floor. Each floor has grilled doors with a guard inside and a guard outside. And he, the Lord said it's time to go. And he had a broken leg. And the Lord said it's time to go. And he went out and started dragging himself. Wonderful story. He goes right through and nobody sees him. Every time he came to a door, somehow they just opened the door because somebody was coming in and going out. Nobody saw him. He went all the way down the 8 stairs, starting with a broken leg, which he totally forgot he had. He said he was so afraid he was going to be shot in the back that he forgot about the pain of the leg. And walked across the yard just as they were opening the gate. He walked through the gate just as the taxi pulled up. Somebody jumped out. He jumped in and he took off. Nobody saw him, except, of course, the prisoners on the floor who were watching him. Part of the glorious church. Brother Yun, a man who memorized the book of Matthew. Acts 16, 25 through 26. Paul and Silas were set free from prison by an earthquake. They were praising God. Somebody said they were praising God and praise was so good, God started tapping his feet, and tapping his feet caused an earthquake, and the earthquake set them free. Acts 8:40. Philip ministered to the eunuch, got him saved, baptized him. The eunuch came out of the water. Philip came out of the water, but he kept going. Philip kept going and was translated and appeared in Azotus, which is, I think, like 40 miles away. Acts 20, 9 and 10. The Apostle Paul raised the youth from the dead in church. Paul was preaching a long time. I mean, some people might say, Pastor Joshua, you preach a long time. Listen, nobody's fallen down and died because I was preaching a long time. But this man did. Paul was preaching a long time. He fell from like 3 stories up and fell down and died. Paul let him go, raise him from the dead. That's what the glorious church is all about. Doing all these wonderful things that God has called us to do. God is in you. The God who created this incredible world lives in you and wants you to live an incredible life. Part C. Manifestations in the ending days. In John 14, 12, Jesus says, the works that I do, you shall do, and greater works. We're called to do greater works than Jesus. Why is that? Because Jesus ministered under Genesis 1, 26 and 28. He had power and authority over the earth and everything that moved on the earth. Every person before Jesus had that power and authority. But every person before Jesus, like Adam, sinned and turned their authority over to the devil. But Jesus never sinned. He had that authority the whole time. And his entire ministry is based in Genesis 1, 26 and 28. Now we are born again. Our sins have been washed away by the precious blood of Jesus. We have that authority over the earth and everything that moves on it. But additionally, we now have authority in the heavens. And in the name of Jesus, with the name of Jesus, we have the power of attorney to use the name of Jesus, which has authority in 3 worlds. Heavens, on the earth, and on the world. We're really set to go hunting. And what we're hunting are the evil works of the enemy. God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power. And he went around doing good, healing all that were oppressed by the enemy, by the devil. That's our goal, is find the oppression of the devil's demons and evil spirit and get them out as the Holy Spirit leads you, so we can prepare the way for the return of Jesus. So, Romans 8:29 says we are conformed to His image. We are called to be conformed to the image of Jesus. And we are supposed to do greater works. So here are some works. Pastor Joseph in China, having founded many churches, they were looking for him, and they finally found him and surrounded the home. And he sees them outside, the army around him. And he says, God, what do I do? God says, take your Bible, put your Bible in front of your face, and walk through the door towards them. Now, of course, in the natural, if you have a Bible in front of your face, you can't see. But God's ways are so different from ours. He did that. He put the Bible in front of his face and walked out. And they couldn't see him. He walked out invisible to them and got there beside whoever was in charge. I forget the guy's title. And he's on the phone reporting back to his boss. Yes, sir. We have his home surrounded. We're about to go inside and arrest him. And Pastor Joseph is standing beside him, and he doesn't see him. When they didn't find him, they all got into the trucks and started to leave. Pastor Joseph climbed into one of the trucks. They still didn't see him. We serve a big God. Pastor Joshua. Oh, that's me. Okay. So, here's one about me. I happened to be in an area where a riot broke out around me. A small riot. I mean, I don't know. Maybe 50 or 100 people. And I had like 5 or 6 kids with me. I'd take them to the beach. Riot broke by the beach. So I collected the kids and we set on out. And we walked through the riot. There were people throwing bottles, fighting, all sorts of things. And it was like they never saw us. I certainly was seeing them, but we walked right through. None of us were touched, accosted, hit, nothing. We went right through them and got to our cars and left. I have a brother, Ray, who had a similar experience in the LA riot. He was down in the area where the riots broke out, had owned some businesses down there, and he was down there going from business to business. And the family was highly concerned about him because they knew he had gone down there. Well, he got home late in the afternoon, and they said, where you been? I said, what do you mean? This is the day I go down there and do all this. He said, yeah, but there's a riot going on. A tremendous riot. He said, oh, really? I did not know that. I was wondering why the people were so excited. So he knew the people were excited. He had no idea walking through a riot going from building to building. So, God can make us invisible when we trust Him. Walk in water. This was referenced in Pastor Matthew's teaching and walking on the water of the impossible. Mel Torrey and the church ministers walking through that raging river. Literally walked across a raging river. And my understanding is other inhabitants of that area saw them crossing the river and thought, well, there must be some kind of, you know, log or road or something, because they never got down below water, they never got above their knees. So they started following them. But the river was very deep. Maybe 8-10 feet deep and very fast, and many of them got washed away. God is the God of the impossible. God wants you and I to walk in a world of impossibilities, victorious over all of them. And many ABCs and many people have prayed about food and multiplied it. What I want to reference is Pastor Karen in Guatemala doing that, because it was an ongoing multiplication of food for quite a while. I believe for weeks. Manifested glory. One of the greatest ones of manifested glory is Smith Wigglesworth. That when he prayed, the glory of God was so strong, the anointing was so strong, that there are times when he was praying that everybody had to leave the room. And there are cases where people didn't want to leave the room. The glory got so great, they fell on the floor and crawled out of the room. God's glory was so much present in the tabernacle that when it was being carried and it tilted as if it's going to fall, this man put up his hand to hold it in place, the glory swamped him, and his spirit left his body. His spirit left his body, and the body died. That glory that produced that is in you. The glory that produced that is in you. All of God and all of his glory is in you, in your spirit. But your heart and my heart is a veil that keeps that glory from flooding the rest of our being. But we want to part that heart and have it fully set up in God. We want to have all the crooked ways made straight. We want to have all the mountains of bad habits in our life torn down. I want to raise up everything that God has given us for ministry. We tear down the fear so we can move in the power that he's given us. 1 John 3:2, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, when Jesus shall appear, we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We are called to be conformed to the image of God. We are called to do the works that Jesus did and greater works. We are joined heirs with Jesus. Let's make ourselves available to the Holy Spirit to change us into what God wants us to be. 1 John 3:3, the next verse. And every man that has this hope purifies himself even as he is pure. Purifies himself even as he is pure. Can we do any of this by ourselves? Nope. Could we get born again by ourselves? Not at all. We got born again simply by believing and confessing with our mouth. And that's a great way to start here. Because the Holy Spirit did the rest and got us born again. So we can believe that we want it. We want the sin out of our lives. We want to be part of a church without spot or wrinkle. A holy church. We want to be a holy temple for a holy God. We can believe it. And we can say it. And we can pray it. And we can trust the Holy Spirit to change us. Just as he got us born again, he can get us to this point of being part of the church without spot or wrinkle. Number two, living as ambassadors of heaven. Remember Pastor Sarah's teaching on this. 2 Corinthians 5:20. Now we are ambassadors for Christ. And how do we function in that ambassadorship? We want to, first of all, partake of his divine nature. Wow! You know, first time I saw that, it kind of shook me. Partake of God's divine nature. Well, think about it. We are giant killers. David showed us. We can kill any kind of giant. Giant of cancer. We can curse cancer and it dies. We're earth shakers. Paul and Silas showed us that when we prayed, that when we pray, we can have the earth shake. We can stop storms. We are giant killers, earth shakers. And we have what we say. We move mountains with our words. Wow, that's kind of partaking of his divine nature. So, 2 Peter 1 verse 3 says, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness. We have everything we need for life and godliness already provided for us. Through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. We are called to glory. This is not something that we are thinking it would be nice to have. It's something God has called us to be. That restored to the glory of God, God wants us to use it. Jesus didn't die to restore us to the glory of God so we wouldn't use it. We'd have passed on nothing but his glory. Freely have we received, freely give. Heal the sick. Cleanse the leper. Raise the dead. Cast out devils. Freely have you received, freely give. That's the word of God. 2 Peter 1:4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. The promises get us to partake of his divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Yeah, we've prepared the way. We've prepared the way. We've made the crooked ways in ourselves straight. We've pulled on the mountains of bad habit, got rid of the pet demons, and raised up God's calling in our lives. Filled with the fullness of God. Ephesians 3:19. And to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with the fullness of God. That's a prayer we recommend you pray. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 to 21. It's a prayer of love, that you grow in love. Why is that important? Because God is love. Because your faith works by love. Because without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because when you grow in love, and when your faith matures, and you keep growing in love, you get to the point where you're filled with the fullness of God. Why is that? Because God is inside you, and what's separating God and the fullness of God and the power of God from the rest of your being, from the body that's challenged with sickness and disease and poverty, or any kind of lack, what's separating it is the veil of your heart. But when you pray that prayer, it talks about your heart being filled with Christ. There should be nothing in your heart, nothing in my heart, but Christ. But love, and then grafted word. And they're all one, you know. God is love. Christ, Jesus is God. So Jesus is love. Jesus is the word, and then grafted word on you. Different facets of the same diamond. But when your heart is full of love, when your heart is full of Christ, it's parted, it's fully set in God, and all the glory of God can flow it, and you're filled with the fullness of God. Now, when you're filled with the fullness of God, what kind of things can happen? Let me tell you, long before you're filled with the fullness of God, because, you know, we all have a long way to go. But look what can happen when you're heading in that direction. Smith Wigglesworth, so filled with the fullness of God, so filled with the fullness of God, that when he prays, people have to walk out of the room or crawl out of the room. That's a lot of the glory of God. He raised, 15 people from the dead. See, the 14 or 15 people from the dead, okay? One man raising like 14 or 15 people from the dead. It says 15 in the notes, but for some reason I keep thinking I've heard and read 14. Bishop Susanna raised 11 people from the dead. One was her own daughter. She was in one country. She was in England when her daughter died back home. By the time she got home, her daughter had been dead several days. She raised her from the dead. In our ABC ministries, 8 people have been raised from the dead. But let me tell you, I got a long way to go. This church has a long way to go towards being a glorious church. But we want it. We desire it. We're moving towards it. And we know that with God, all things are possible. We know that whatever you say, you're going to have it. And we know that whatever you do, God will multiply it. God is a multiplier. But we have to do something. Part C, we are to be conformed to his image. I referenced it twice so far. Let me read one more aspect of this. 1 John 3:2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that has this hope purify himself even as is pure. Miraculous protection. Revelation 11:5. And if any man will hurt them, these are the two witnesses. And we see the two witnesses as the two most prominent examples of the glorious church in the scripture in the ending days. Glorious church being those who are sold out to God, who are full of the glory of God, and walking in that glory. And they are two very prominent examples. And so, if any man would try to hurt them, fire proceeds out of their mouth and devours the enemy. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. Here is your protection in the ending days. A lot of people are buying guns and hiding in caves and building underground tunnels and all kinds of things for the ending days. But the scripture says, if you live by the sword, you'll die by the sword. We as believers need to live by faith and patience for the ending day. Faith in God's word and patience to see it come into being. We've seen many examples of fire. We see fire coming down for Elijah's offering. We see fire coming down to destroy the soldiers. We see the sons of thunder wanted to bring down fire on this village that had rejected Jesus. Jesus didn't say, you can't do that. He says, you don't know what manner of spirit is leading you. You don't know why you're saying that. And here we see two men protecting himself with fire coming to destroy the enemies. God's power is greater than all the power of the enemy. Luke 10:19 says, nothing of the enemy shall by any means hurt you. Nothing of the enemy shall by any means hurt you. If you believe the word of God, if you believe the scriptures, you should believe that. But if you believe that, you want to start practicing to be part of the church without spot or wrinkle. Continuing with the two witnesses. These have power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of the prophecy, and have power over the waters to turn them to blood, and to smite the earth with plagues as often as they will. Now, Moses and the Hebrews lived through the plagues of Moses. The ones who were obedient were unscathed, they weren't touched. Just as we've seen in these modern times, a lot of Christians have come through this COVID pandemic without any challenges. They're unscathed, untouched. Are there plagues in the future? Of course, there will be plagues in the future. In fact, in one of the later modules in this book, we look at Pastor Sarah's teaching on plagues and prophecies. We need to understand the role and purpose of the plagues that God did through Moses and the one that God will do in the ending days. Not all plagues come from God, but certain ones do. Part 3, be independent of the system of mammon. So we are looking at manifestations in the ending days. One is do greater works than Jesus. Two is live as ambassadors of heaven. 3, be independent of the system of mammon. And 4 is be a creative son of God, using the word son to mean mankind, man and woman. So let's look at part 3. Be independent of the system of mammon. Isaiah 55 verse 1. Ho, everyone that thirsts, come you to the waters. And he that has no money, come and buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk, without money and without price. Now, this has spiritual interpretation to mean spiritual things. But taking it literally in terms of buying in the natural, this is a wonderful scripture to have in your arsenal as you face the ending days. Many of us know that the scripture says the time will come when people cannot buy and sell using money. Well, when the time comes, if you're here and you can't buy and sell using money, you can buy and sell through the power of God. You can get what you need through the power of God. Exodus 7 through 11 talked about the plagues of Moses, which I referenced a few minutes ago. And just as the Hebrews got through it in the book of Exodus, leaving Egypt, when they're obedient, just so Christians today will get through all the challenges of the future if they're obedient to God and His Word. God knows a lot more than you and I do. And again, I want to refer you to a later module in this book, Pastor Osiris' Teaching on Plagues and Prophecy. Very powerful and very important. Exodus 15:26, talking about being obedient and living for God. Exodus 15:26. And God said, if you will be diligent to hear the voice of the Lord your God, and will do that which is right in His sight, and will give ear to His commandments, and keep all His statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon you, which I have brought upon the Egyptians. For I am the Lord that healeth. I am the Lord that healeth. The word Lord there is the word Jehovah. I am Jehovah that healeth. That healeth, the word used there is Rapha. He's saying, I am Jehovah Rapha. I am the God that heals you. God is the God that heals you. God is the God that wants to heal you. God is the God who is saying He will heal you if you pay attention to His word and live by the word and be obedient. If you don't, you tie His hands and He has a difficult time getting you healed. Be a part of the church of without spot or wrinkle. Be a part of the glorious church. A church that's obedient, doing their best to be obedient, doing their best to live the way God wants you to live. And the promise of God is He'll heal you. Yes, all your healing belongs to you already. By the stripes of Jesus, you've been healed. It belongs to you. But as you walk in that obedience, the manifestation of the healing will come a lot faster, a lot easier, and a lot clearer. Proverbs 4:22. From the very beginning, way back there, God is saying, the word of God is health and medicine to your flesh. The word of God is health and medicine to your flesh. The word of God that says be obedient. The word of God that says you've been healed by the stripes of Jesus. The word of God that says Jesus became a curse for you by dying on the tree. Be a creative son of God. Acts 10:34. God is no respecter of persons. What does that mean? God doesn't play favorites. What He does for one, He'll do for the other. What's the difference? Comes down to this. All the promises of God belong to you and me. If you and I, if we keep the conditions of the promises, we get the promises. So God is no respecter of persons. Any person who meets the condition will get the promise. And the condition from here on out in the ending days is desire to be part of the church without spot or wrinkle. Learn about it. Look forward to hearing a part two on Christ in you, the hope of glory. Think of the name. Christ in you, the hope of the glory. If you want to know more about living in Christ Jesus versus living in Jesus Christ, I refer you to the website Jesus the Christ Made Plain. JesusTheChristMadePlain.org. Exodus 17:6. Moses brought water out of a rock. That's pretty phenomenal. He hit the rock and water came out. Enough to feed the millions of people. To give drink to millions of people. Pastor Peter bought a property. I believe it was like 280 acres. And the man who sold them told him there was water. Well, there was yes and no. Pastor Peter brought it, believing in the man. And there was a well. And the first thing he did, there was one little building of the property with a few windows, which were very dirty. So he got some water from the well, pumped it up, and washed the windows. When the windows were washed, he went back to the well. There was no more water. That was it. Enough water to wash the windows. Later on, he'd find out that the man had spent 10 years digging wells all over and could not find any water. So he said, I finally found me, this man that I could pass this property off him. Well, God had told Pastor Peter to buy it. So Pastor Peter said, well, I need water. This place can't survive without water. So he prayed and prayed. And one night he had a dream. And I forget the reference. But he got up, ran to the Bible, and looked at it. And it says, there is water under the door of the chapel. Well, they had built a chapel by that time. And so they went out and started digging by the door of the chapel. And sure enough, they found water. They found water which the man couldn't find in 10 years. Nobody could find it before Pastor Peter. Got so much water, they had all the water they needed, and eventually built a lake. They now have a lake on the property. Second Kings 4, 1 verse 7. Elijah multiplied the oil for the prophet's widow. All the vessels were filled up. And he said, go sell the oil, pay off the debt, and you and your children live on this, I guess, for the rest of their lives. That's how much oil they got. Well, I put in only a three offering story that have to do with ABC that I know about. First one is, one man knew there's a guest speaker coming to the church that he liked. He wanted to give him a nice offering. But all he had was $5. So this is maybe a month or 6 weeks before the guest speaker was to arrive. This person is planning ahead. So he put the $5 into offering, and within a short time, a couple of weeks, he got an unexpected $500. No, that's a nice offering, right? He turned around and he gave the $500 into the special offering for the guest speaker. And within a matter of months, he received back $50,000. That's 5 times 100 is 500. 500 times 100 is 50,000. That's pretty phenomenal. Here's another one. There's an evangelist who was going to Africa. First trip overseas. Came and asked for advice. I said, he wanted to know if he should develop a newsletter to people and asking for support. I said, why don't you do it God's way? And he said, what is that? I said, you do it through offerings. So he had $10, if I recall correctly. He put it into the offering. It was an offering basket just sitting there. He walked over and put it in there. A few weeks later, he was speaking at a church, and somebody gave him a check for $1,000. He took the $1,000 and he sold it, and eventually sold it towards his ministry. Eventually, he received 4 times his budget for the trip. What's even more incredible is he received twice the budget here before he left. While he was overseas, I never heard of this happening to anybody else ever. While he was overseas, the largest church where he spoke at took up an offering which was equal to 1.5 times his budget. Overseas. That's a tremendous miracle. And when he came back home, the same church sent him another offering which was equal to half his budget. 4 times his budget. Here is one that I really like. Some people wanted to help this bishop getting wheelchairs for hospitals in a country overseas where the patients in the hospital didn't have wheelchairs. They sat in boxes and, you know, they couldn't move around. And so the group took up an offering and gave him $500 to buy wheelchairs. He took the $500 and they prayed that God would multiply the 100-fold. Well, a few weeks later, the bishop was hooked up to a man who had recently bought a medical supply business. He met with the man, and the man gave him $50,000 worth of wheelchairs, which is 100 times. But the story got picked up by a newspaper, small paper, and then picked up by a larger paper, and another one. And people started calling in. A hospital was closing down and gave him a whole bunch of stuff. He eventually got $2 million worth of medical equipment and hospital equipment. $2 million, starting with a $500 offering. No, he may have got more than that, but that's the point where I kind of lost track of the story. So, be a creative member of the family of God. You have what you say. You can create whatever you need now and practice it so when the time comes when you really do desperately need it, you can do it. God wants you to be a creative son preparing the way for the return of Jesus. Many ABCers have stories about multiplying the gas in their cars while driving. One that I recorded is a person was 2 hours away from home and the gas tank hit empty. And the person had no cash and had made a commitment he was not going to use a credit card. Stopping the use of credit cards. That was between him and God. And said, okay, God, I have no cash on me. The gas tank is not empty and I'm not going to use my credit card. He drove all the way home, 2 hours with the car on empty. And then another person was out of money overseas, had a lot of work to do over the next week or two, and drove and did every errand and everything that had to be done as if they had normal amount of gas in the car and went like that for like a week and a half with no gas. That's one of the most powerful ones that I've heard. And I'll close with this one. Pastor John, I don't know the circumstances under why this is true, but she had an oven with no source. I don't recall if it's gas or electricity. I believe it was gas. There was no gas hooked up. She had no gas with which to cook. And so he prayed by faith that her roast would be cooked. She took her roast, did everything she normally does, put it in there, set the timers and everything. Everything was set except there was no gas. Came back at the time it would normally take. When he came back, opened up, there was the roast. Perfectly cooked. Perfectly cooked, as if she had gas. Why not? We serve a big God. God says, with God, nothing shall be impossible. You have what you say. Whatever you desire, when you pray, believe you receive it, and you shall have it. And you have all the angels, as many angels as you need to do your bidding. Think about these things as you get ready for the next module in the series. Think about this. Jesus is coming back. And you want to be a part of the church that Jesus presents to himself. A glorious church, full of the glory of God. A church without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. No sins, no iniquities, no demonic influences. A church washed by the water of the Word, living with Jesus as Lord, living in Christ Jesus. Understanding that Christ in them is the hope of glory and preparing the way for the return of Jesus. Thank you for your time and your attention. God bless you all. We'll see you in the next video.
Hello, glorious church. Wow, great teaching. Our God is a great God and a mighty God. We listen to these testimonies, And understand they are testimonies of true stories, not something made up, not something fantasized. These are true things that really happened because of our God. People who trusted in God. People who pushed the envelope, so to speak. Opened the lid from the box and just let our God out and let him be big in their lives. And that's what he wants for each and every one of us, to be a mighty God in our lives, to show forth to the rest of the world who our God is, to make our lives be so attractive to others that they want to know who it is we know and what it is we know that they would like to know. And so as we live in the power of God, in the power of his might, we can expect opportunities for ministry to others, as well as to seeing the results of prayers for ourselves and our own needs, especially as we get deeper and deeper into these last days. Some of these types of situations will become really mandatory for us to be able to perform. So as Pastor Joshua said, we want to start practicing now. Don't think it's way off in the future sometime. It's just around the corner. It's actually probably in process of happening now. So now is the time to start practicing, to start expecting these things to happen, to have the Holy Spirit remind us to take that authority that Jesus has given us, to put it into practice in our lives, to implement it on a daily basis. So as the time gets more serious and shorter and closer to the return of Jesus, we'll be practiced up, prayed up, and right in tune with where we need to be at the time. Amen, church? Praise God. Excuse me, praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, let's go into communion. And we thank our God for loving us so much, for giving us this wonderful opportunity to be the glorious church. Hallelujah. So let's confess our sins, and then we will begin coming to the table to our Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that on that night in which Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and blessed it and broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." We remember that we are the healed of the Lord. We say so because we have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. The word of God clearly says that healing belongs to us. Jesus has paid the price for every sickness, disease, infirmity, and pain, including cancers, including COVID-19 and all of its variations, and for whatever else is coming this way, because we expect that as Satan is unleashing all of his fury, that he has more stored up for mankind. But we are the children of God, bought and paid for with the blood of Jesus Christ. With the body of Jesus that suffered so we would be made whole. That we would be free from sickness and disease. That we would be free of these plagues. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. What a glorious gift. We do remember and we do rejoice and say, thank you, Jesus. We are the healed of the Lord and we do say so as we now partake together of the precious broken body of Jesus in that great exchange to receive our healing and wholeness for our personal bodies in any and all areas of challenge. In Jesus' name. In the same manner, after the supper, Jesus took the cup, saying, "This is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you for remission from sins." The once-for-all sacrifice of Jesus Christ for all sin, for all mankind, the price was paid for those who would receive. And we have received, and we thank you, Jesus, that we are bought and paid for with the very, very precious price of the very life of Jesus Christ, that you held nothing back, but you gave it all up for us, paying that price we could not pay. And now all the benefits belong to us, because the price has been paid and we don't have to pay it twice. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that sins have been washed away. The wages of sins have been washed away by the blood of Jesus. And your blood sealed the old covenant and established the new, better, and everlasting covenant for us, for life, for godliness, to live and not die, to be alive and remain. You paid the price for all of the promises, for us to become overcomers, for us to be raptured. It's all there, ready and waiting for us to receive all that belongs to us, all that Jesus paid for. So, glorious church, let's grab hold of it and become more and more the glorious church each and every day, and make our daddy proud and just say thank you, a big thank you to our Jesus. We love you, Lord, and we say thank you so very much. Let's partake together now of the precious, promise-giving, life-giving blood of Jesus Christ.